My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Whether you're at the ballpark, on the golf course, or doing nothing at all, get the Cleveland Sports News at 92.3thefan.com or use the Odyssey app.
Week 2 of the preseason. Though it's a pivotal time for everybody as we get ready for the regular season. And we go around the AFC North on our first stop. As you remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The first stop is in Baltimore with Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as they will host the Atlanta Falcons Saturday at noon. Like it's a Big Ten game. Ken Wyman joining us now to talk about the Ravens' noon kickoff against the Atlanta Falcons. How many starters play on Saturday at noon, Ken?
Not any of the big ones, and they're doing this because the Orioles are at home that evening, so they're trying to thread a needle here, playing both games. I don't know if you're familiar, but both stadiums are basically they share parking, so they're trying to thread this needle with having both games at the same time. But yes, a noon kickoff for preseason, that sounds like a hell of a lot of fun for fake football. But yeah, not a lot of the big names. Lamar Jackson's not playing a snap. Derrick Henry's not playing a snap. Kyle Hamilton's not playing. He dodged a bullet in practice the other day. He looked like he got seriously hurt, but he was back the next day.
Ken, this is just my curiosity, but I see oftentimes, especially on social media, people wondering about Lamar Jackson and his constant health issues. Ooh. That don't seem to be about his body. Do you guys ever talk about that, or does he ever explain why he seems to be a little erratic in being able to show up to stuff because of whatever sickness he has?
Okay, well, let's take that one step at a time. He doesn't talk about it. We talk about it. He does seem to get sick a lot. But, yeah, he does not talk about it.
Ken, are you being very careful around this?
Yes.
Almost like you might know something.
I don't know that he gets stuff delivered from his restaurant in Florida and probably isn't fresh, or I don't know. I don't know the cause of this, but he does seem to have like a lot of minor stomach bugs.
That is, yeah, you think about it. It happened in Cleveland before. That's true.
Well, yeah, I had to run. I'd run to the bathroom. He didn't have the restaurant at that point, though, so I can't blame it on Play Action Soul Food and More at that point. But, yeah, he did
Mitch
have
that. Mitch
is already
door-dashing.
Yes.
Yeah, he could have, yes. He could have had that, yeah.
Is this a big-time breakout year for David Ajabo?
I don't think so.
Never mind.
He has shown absolutely nothing. And then it was weird. Like, you're getting ready for the preseason game, and they don't tell us that he hadn't been cleared to play. And nobody asked because he's practicing. So, like, the football game starts, and you're like, where's David Ajabo? And then we find out he hadn't been cleared to play yet. I've seen, even before, when last year, before he got hurt, he didn't look good before he got hurt, and he was awful against the run. Like, he couldn't set the edge, and at one point in the preseason game, they ran, like, a tight end reverse, and he got destroyed. I'm hopeful, but no, I'm more confident that the kid they drafted out of Penn State, Adisa Isaac, will give them more impact than David Ajabo.
When it comes to the weapons offensively, like, certainly we know about Mark Andrews and how banged up he was. Isaiah Likely, though, seems like somebody that people are really excited about.
Yeah, the funny thing about him, guys, is even 2 years ago as a rookie when Andrews missed a couple weeks, he played well when Andrews was out. Last year he played well when Andrews was out. I think one of the things that Todd Monken, their offensive coordinator, has got to figure out is how to unlock both of them, because Likely receives. It seems like Likely plays the Andrews role and plays it very well, but how do we get both of them to make an impact at the same time? I think that's one of the things. You're going to see a lot of two tight end stuff, maybe 12, 13 personnel, 22, 23 personnel, trying to unlock this, because let's face it, other than Zay Flowers, not a whole lot wide receiver-wise that threatens the defense.
How much does John Harbaugh get asked about his brother?
Not as much as you'd think. One of the things we were talking about yesterday, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but here in Baltimore we call John Harbs. But I don't think anybody's ever called Jim Harbs, which is something I don't know if this is just my kind of thing that I want to get to the bottom of, but nobody calls Jim Harbs, but John is Harbs. But the week of, when they play each other, well, he'll get asked about it a lot. When they were going for the national championship last year, he got asked, but not as much as you'd think.
Who do you trust more, Kevin Stefanski or Mike Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin.
Why?
Never had a losing season.
What's that done for me lately?
But Kevin Stefanski, what's he done other than...
Took us to the playoffs with four different quarterbacks winning football games, five overall, boom.
Mike Tomlin took the Steelers to the quarterback with the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger and with Kenny Pickett.
Was the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger still better than P.J. Walker? I say yes.
Hey, he took Joe Flacco off the couch and got him to the playoffs. I do give him credit for that. But, like, Tomlin, I don't know how he does it. I say all the time, like, if there was an apocalypse, the Steelers would survive somehow. Every year when I want to throw dirt on them, they figure out a way to get to the playoffs. I don't get it, but he figures it out.
Ken, we thank you very much. Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. We now welcome James Rapine, Locked On Bengals in Cincinnati. And James, you wrote in Sports Illustrated, what's going on with Ja'Marr Chase and the Cincinnati Bengals? Because there were a whole lot of Bengals at practice on Tuesday, but he wasn't one of them. So what's going on with Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals?
Yeah, that's a question that a lot of people want the answer to, and no one really knows, to be honest with you, Ken. And I think we do know he wants a new deal, and he's clearly willing to stare at the Bengals during training camp. Will this continue with 25 days between now and the start of the regular season? Is he willing to sit out games if he doesn't get an extension? I think that's the real question, because if he comes back a week or two from now, well, then you're fine and you can go business as usual regardless. But if he's willing to sit out, then things could get really interesting.
Obviously, you've been monitoring the day-to-day, and that's what we're doing with Deshaun Watson and how frequently he is out there or going through, quote, mental reps. What's the situation with Burrow? Has he been full go or have there been some limitations?
Yeah, he's been pretty much full go. He had one rest day that was built in before camp started, and Zach warned us about ahead of time. And that was their third practice in a row the first week, so July 26th or something like that. Since then, he's participated in every practice. Obviously, we saw him play a series on Saturday night in the preseason opener. He's going to play a lot tomorrow in Chicago during the joint practice. Won't play in preseason game number two. But, yeah, he's been pretty much full go.
James Rapine, Locked On Bengals. They're taking on Chicago Saturday at 1 p.m. in Chicago. For Zach Taylor, how much has his mention changed here as he's kind of really been locked in now as head coach? I know it was dicey with the media there wanting him out. Now I think he's affirmed himself as a head coach. I've certainly quieted down my criticism of him. What's his message that's changed here over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, when you win, and even last year putting together a winning record without Joe Burrow, I think that went a long way in kind of affirming or giving everyone a reminder that Zach has been a part of this run. And it hasn't just been Joe and Jamar. Obviously, drafting Joe Burrow helped save his job. I think he would tell you that and be the first to tell you that. At the same time, he's grown as a coach, and I do think he's become a good NFL coach.
Why are you wearing orange pants when the Browns come to visit on December 19th?
I'm not wearing orange pants, ever.
Why are the Bengals wearing orange pants? Why are the Bengals wearing the orange? That's a good point. Why are the Bengals wearing the orange pants?
I think that, I don't know. I don't know why they're wearing it. In December, too, the stripe out, I would much rather that be earlier. I think that's going to be hard on fans to go all orange or all black. But, yeah, the orange pants to probably make the Browns mad.
Can the Cincinnati Bengals do anything for themselves, or do they always have to have the Browns do something for them first?
I mean, he's not a franchise quarterback.
What's that got to do with the price of fish? I was talking about pants. I was talking about having a football team. Stadiums.
You said anything for themselves.
What, how's that stadium rendering looking down there at Paycar? You guys still liquidating TVs? Is that what they're doing down there? You surfs.
Ken, be honest. Did you come down and get a TV?
No. I don't need a Paycor Stadium TV for $80. I go to Extend Technologies and get quality. That's what I get.
There you go. I knew it.
Yeah, Mike Brown. I need to sell all these TVs so I can pay Jamar Chase. Lord. All right,
man, the quarterback comment, a little sensitive, huh?
Of course I'm a little sensitive about the quarterback comment, James. Hell. James Rapine, Locked On Bengals, Sports Illustrated. See, this is preseason. As they get set to take on Chicago Saturday at 1 p.m., Pony Express, Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Are you still at the one-yard line? How's that trade? Is it still at the one?
Did I specify which goal line?
Drive stalled out a little bit.
Well done. That was really well done. They are hosting Buffalo Saturday at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Saturday, the Steelers are. So what are you hearing from your sources about Brandon Ayuk and the Pittsburgh Steelers, buddy?
Same things Justina Anderson and Ian Rappaport are apparently hearing.
And what's that?
The same stuff.
And what's that?
Deal done, deal in place, deal not actually done, trade not actually official. GM's agreed on something, but it ain't final. Makes me think of DeBartolo. Maybe a York is saying, not so fast. I'm not going to let this guy walk when we're weeks away from defending our NFC title. So that's what I think's going on, Ken. I think they're prepared to maybe do something stupid there. And despite Trent Williams' holdout and what's going to go on with Brock Purdy next offseason, maybe they do buckle and give the guy more than $30 million a year. But remember, they got to factor in that cost of living difference between Pittsburgh and San Francisco into that contract.
Andrew Filippone with us, providing some Steelers perspective. So how do you go back to the fans? You know, if you're the organization, you've been hearing about these rumors. There was so much speculation, became a national NFL storyline. How do you go back to the fans and say, well, we didn't get Ayuk, so here you go? Like, it's not like they're going to go and get somebody else in the interim. Like, this is your roster. You had people having delusions of grandeur, and now you're just going to go back to your current weaponry.
Well, it's not a universal thing, Tone. It's not the grandeur that you're speaking of is not shared by all Steelers fans. In fact, many of them don't want Ayuk. They don't want to pay him. They don't think he's worth it. They actually think he's a product of the system, and they're trying to tie themselves into knots here, making cases for guys like Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin to be significant contributors in the offense. Now, I happen to think those people are insane. But it's crazy. The longer this thing is dragged out, the more frustration, Ayuk frustration, exists here. And I think there are a lot of fans that are thinking to themselves, the hell with it. We don't actually need this guy. Let's move forward, and maybe we just pick up a Juju Smith-Schuster for the veteran minimum and go that route.
You know, this really reminds me of Odell right before they traded for Odell in Cleveland, Pony, because, like, there were people, like, we were getting cuss-out emails to stop talking about Odell. It was never going to happen. We were wasting people's time. And then, like, 2 days later, they finally consummated
that
trade.
With Sean, too, Ken? You guys were out of it. Remember the reports?
Yeah, but we were reported out of it. It was actually, like, you were officially out of the running on a Thursday morning, and then on Friday afternoon, they had signed Deshaun Watson. But we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. I just used a anecdote with what happened with the Odell Beckham Jr. Filippone, who is winning the quarterback battle? Who would be winning the quarterback battle to Andrew Filippone?
Well, I would say Russell Wilson is going to win it.
Who would you pick to be the starter?
I would pick Justin Fields, but I'll tell you right now, I would not feel amazing about it. I thought Justin actually had a pretty subpar first preseason game. I don't want to read too much into preseason games anymore. I'm a new man that has turned over a new leaf because of what Kenny Pickett did to bamboozle me last year, making me think he was Joe Burrow 2.0.
His family invited you in the suite. You were taken in. It was like an MLM.
Yes, and they only had small cocktail hors d'oeuvres because they didn't want to offend Kenny in the size of his hand. So,
wow.
Yeah.
How you've turned on him. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, Ken. It's true. It's damn true. I would go with Fields, but I get why they're going to start Wilson week one, but I would presume the leash is very, very short on him.
Stefanski or Tomlin?
In what?
Who do you trust more, Stefanski or Tomlin? Go.
Tomlin.
Why?
I think Kevin Stefanski is going to get fired at the end of the season.
All right.
What are you doing?
Spoken like somebody who's never been invited to a coach's gala and fundraiser.
Yeah.
And charity event.
He got sucked into the whole Kenny Pickett thing. It was the LuLaRoe quarterbacks.
Remember, he was
blaming on the MLM. Everything was positive, and now,
he blamed Tomlin.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Every step of the way.
Yep. There you go. And now look who's still standing. Mike Tomlin. Which, I don't know why I'm saying it like that, because you and I both picked Kevin Stefanski. How did 3 out of 3 people in around the AFC North pick Tomlin over Stefanski? Are we wrong? Are we just being homers? Are Browns fans just being homers? I never saw Mike Tomlin do it with 4 different quarterbacks. I never saw him have to do it with 4 different quarterbacks. Are we overrating Kevin Stefanski?
Well, we're being told we're homers.
We're being told we're overrating Kevin Stefanski. We're being homers, but everybody else. See, we're in a weird twilight zone. Barely get the words out. We're in a weird twilight zone here because in Cleveland, we've looked at Mike Tomlin with, no one wants to admit it, we've looked at Mike Tomlin with reverence for a long time. Everywhere else in the NFL has looked at Mike Tomlin with reverence. In Pittsburgh, they think he sucks. And they think that it's time for him to go, and they thought it was time for him to go. That's why I still think he was probably doing that just to spite us because he's pony and he's goof. I looked at what Kevin Stefanski did last year, and I got to go by only what I've seen recently. And I know I've been burned by this before. I got burned by it when it came to Freddie Kitchens and Mike Vrabel, and that was a stupid comment by me because Freddie Kitchens had never coached a game in his life. So that was a very, very stupid comment. But when I compare these two head coaches, for 17, 18 years now, Mike Tomlin has done a wonderful job. But right now, would you still rather have Mike Tomlin as head coach of the Browns, or would you rather have Kevin Stefanski?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that I thought that we
Mike
were
Tomlin's
even,
a hell of a coach. It's a hell of an
and
argument.
And I've liked Mike Tomlin forever. I think it's gotten stale in Pittsburgh. I do think there's obviously a limited ceiling there. Part of that's not Tomlin's fault. They don't have the quarterback. I do think Tomlin dragged his feet way too often over that offense over the years, and it was incredible that they kept running that out, knowing that it just couldn't work with that offensive line. I feel like Kevin Stefanski would have freshened that up. He would have made every attempt, because also his job would have been on the line. See, Tomlin's job has never really been on the line there. The natives are getting restless, though, and I think they are losing a lot of faith just in him. How many years can you go without a playoff win? When's the last playoff win that the Steelers even have? I think Big Ben got one in, was it 2016?
16, I believe.
Yeah, man, that's the Steelers we're talking about.
T.J. Watt came in 2017. They have not won one.
Well, an organization like that, and here we are, you accuse Nick and Dustin of being your home for Pittsburgh Steeler football.
No, right
here.
We'll take that.
An organization like that, like if you're a Steeler fan out there who listens to this, we got a few Steeler fans who listen, including one of the other coaches on the team who heard me talking about the holding up the fourth quarter thing yesterday. We got to find a new thing. Anyway, if you're a Steeler fan and you want to move on from Mike Tomlin, you have to hope for a bottoming out. You have to hope that the thing crashes and burns, that this is a year where it doesn't work together. T.J. Watt's a fantastic player. I actually like their defense. You have to hope that it goes in the wrong direction.
And they have wasted a great defense for a long time
but
now.
But if it were like a 6-11 season or a 5-12 season, that would be a point where Mike Tomlin would probably throw up his hands and go, okay, that's enough. The Rooneys, because they're not going to fire him. They're going to have a walking away, a mutual parting of ways it would be. And Mike Tomlin would probably, quote-unquote, retire and then just come out of retirement if he were going to coach another team or USC or anything like that. Like, that's what he would do. He would retire because he's won a Super Bowl there, and that's how they do it. It's a family business, and that's a good thing because I think they've done it the right way and making sure that the kids stay as sharp as possible, and they learned it the hard way, right? But because of those lessons that are learned and because it's instilled – they know what it was like from 1933 on to the 1970. They know what that was like just being out there in a wasteland. And they never want to go back there. And that's why they're not going to move very quickly. Other organizations would have made knee-jerk reactions and fired Mike Tomlin because he hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. They're not going to do that because you would look at a lot of those other organizations and go, you're nowhere near as successful as Pittsburgh. And so when Kevin Stefanski is here and they didn't move on from him after the 2022 season, where I was getting questions. I remember I was on Brinson's podcast when he was on Pick Six and he's going, he's not in any danger at all. I go, no, he's not. They know what this situation is. Now, 2022 was an interesting year for a lot of reasons. 2021, they weren't going to move on from Kevin Stefanski. They're going to try to push that thing out. That's why when it comes to Kevin and Deshaun Watson, one of the major questions fans have to ask themselves, we hope it goes right, but if it doesn't, you know, which one do the Haslams pick? Because you might have a situation where it just becomes untenable. Maybe he gives up play calling if it doesn't go well. Maybe he gives up play calling in 2025. But if you think the vibes around the quarterback were wishy-washy with the fan base this year, if it does, if there's no performance, it's going to be a bad situation next year where nobody's going to be interested in him. And then it feels like you're just left holding the bag. So if you were to move on, then you have Stefanski, then you have X, but it almost feels impossible to move on because of the money that's owed. That's why this year is so important, because it has to go in the right direction. He has to prove that he's the right quarterback for the future, because he can help the head coach right now be the head coach of the future for many, many years, because that part of it seems to be solidified.
Do you know, or do you, I don't, has this been settled yet about why we have a new offensive coordinator for the Browns? Because I've heard some of the critics of Stefanski say that was basically the team, the organization, they put that on him. They forced him to go out of the building to go find somebody new.
You want my answer? I think it's an uncomfortable answer. I think that they are looking at this going, how can we fix is not the word, save is not the word. How can we jumpstart what's going on with Deshaun Watson? Because you can't deny, and non-Browns fans roll their eyes, you can't deny the flashes. The flashes are there. The flashes are there in camp. You can't deny that. But what you can deny is the consistency. So we need somebody to come together and find that offensive system that helps a big body quarterback who can be mobile, and Ken Dorsey has that pedigree, can help a big body quarterback who can be mobile, wants to be mobile, but also needs to take control of himself and control his arm. And we need to figure out a happy medium here. Because Kevin Stefanski, if there's a criticism here, and it's helped them win a lot of regular season football games and has put them in the playoffs twice, he does come off very conservative. A lot of heavy packages, a lot of fullback operation, a lot of run between the tackles, you know, 12 taking care of everybody, 12 personnel taking care. Like, that's what he does. And I think when you have a guy like Kevin Dorsey, okay, how can I take advantage of slot receivers? Where can I put my slot receivers that are going to be easy bingos to Deshaun Watson, that's going to keep my linebackers, and we're getting nitty-gritty here, to keep my linebackers honest, then he can take off and run if he needs to, or give him the space that he can find somebody else, give him the time that he can find something else, because I should have a good offensive line. Blitzes should not be a huge problem. He's got to be able to find the wide receivers. And he can do that, and that's why you bring in a guy like Ken Dorsey, because it's going to expand without expanding, if that makes sense. The use of slot receivers is going to be very important to this offense. What's going on with your first place baseball team on 92.3 The Fan and the free Odyssey app? Presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how online at T-Mobile.com/switch. Speaking of the Browns, preview show tonight. Getting ready for preseason game number two. Myself and Gerard Cherry coming up at 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. Back to the Guardians here. Because I'm locked in. Derry Brothers got mad at you yesterday. Both Matt and Todd. And it's not as bad as getting double galloped. Still not good.
Not good. No.
Because they were going, Ken, you're just locked in. And I go, I know I'm locked in. And he got people. I mean, I know what you do. You got them all worked up against me. You love it when people get all worked up against me. And then you basically put your feet up on the desk and you laugh. I'm locked in. So when I say that, hey, they're 71-49, yeah, it's a really good record. I can't just sit there and shout that they're 71-49 into the ether. Because I can't just shout how great of a record they have if they eventually fall into first place. Fall into second place. They could fall out of first place, Anthony, and still have a really good record. They could not make the playoffs this year and still have a really good record.
They're going to have a good record, yes.
So you can't just sit there and say that and then have people, well, Ken's just being a bastard about it. Now, I'm not being mean about it. I'm not being a jerk. I'm not trying to be negative about it. There's nothing to be negative about. There's things that need improving. There's questions that we have. But I'm not going to sit there and just say their record when there are things that are going on in baseball games. And last night was one of those games. It was a tight 2-1 game. It was a very satisfying victory. There was a difference between last night and the night before. The night before felt like an escape. You're up 8-3. It's time for bed. And instead, it's 8-7 when I get home from football practice. Then it was 8-8. And we're going, man, you lose this game. You won the last two. There's going to be people going after you. And I didn't want that to happen. Thankfully, Jose Ramirez, who is an MVP of this baseball team, stepped in there and got aboard. And then Josh Naylor was able to, with the old style hit, bring him home. But it felt like an escape. Last night was a satisfying victory. Matt Boyd played very well. Do you understand that? There is a difference. People, you can be a successful person. You can live in a great big house in the biggest block in the biggest side of town. And you can have days that are seen as successful from the outside, but still they can be differing days. I think they got away with one on Monday. Last night was a satisfying 2-1 victory. It was a great outing by Matt Boyd. It was a great outing by the relievers, because before, I think people were getting nervous about the relievers. And again, now your closer is down to a .64 ERA. I mean, there's nothing else better to say about the guy. He's fantastic. The only thing we can say right now is Cy Young. But folks, I'm not being negative. You have to understand the difference. You get that. Like, I'm not pleading it to you that you have to. I'm asking. You have to understand the difference between Monday and Tuesday, right? Do you understand the difference, Anthony?
Yeah, I just am not. I don't think Guardians fans should be in a spot where we are obsessing on a nightly basis when they're winning as much as they are.
But if you're only up 3.5 games, and Owen said that was the danger zone.
Issues.
Okay, but if you're only up 3.5 games and Owen had mentioned that is in the danger zone there, yeah, you kind of have to obsess over.
Well, to me,
because we're getting close to the end of the season.
Okay, I get that. And I can't fault anybody for trying to see where the flaws are and seeing whether or not those flaws are going to doom us in the playoffs, to judge by how excited we should be down this stretch run. But I also think we're measuring the team that we are seeing against the competition that doesn't exist. And what I mean by that is, I feel like every time we are obsessing about any of the Guardians' flaws, we're comparing them to like the Yankee teams every year that were coming out of the American League, or that were going to be contenders for the World Series. That doesn't exist right now in the American League. Like, the Guardians, again, as of today, they're back to the best record in baseball.
Yes.
There is no team in the American League that is flawless. If anything, you could say all the other teams. I know the Orioles have been the one team where they're like, well, they're the least amount of flaws. All right, but you saw us play the Orioles. We were right there with them. I mean, I didn't see a big difference, though.
They're the young roster of the American League teams besides the Guardians.
Right. Well, and if they and to me, I watched the way that we matched up against the Orioles and then the Phillies. And, you know, the list goes on, and I'm like, why not? Why not us? Like, what is it that those teams have that is so much greater than ours? You'd say starting pitching.
That can be a year-by-year thing.
But that's why a game like last night and a start like Tanner Bibee, or, you know, recently Gavin Williams, obviously, you know, Lively the last two times out has been a lot shakier. But I think all those teams have the same issues with – you know, number two or number three starters.
But my frustration is not with the Guardians. I think my frustration, and I don't mean to be accusatory or trying to pick fights here, but I have to. I think my frustration is with you and a lot of other people where, you know, last week when things are down, I'm going, do we call it a disaster? Yes, Ken, you have to call it a disaster if they fall out of first place here in the middle of a 7-game losing streak where you were ripping people before, you heard nothing of it. Then they're saying disaster, and then all of a sudden I'm catching a bunch of bleep for paying attention to the games and saying, yes, there is a difference emotionally. Every win counts. And in the end, win 70 counts as the same as win 71. I get that. But emotionally, yeah, Monday felt a lot different than Tuesday. Tuesday, that was satisfying. Last night was a satisfying baseball victory.
The disaster thing was not losing 7, Ken. The disaster was
falling out of first place.
Was having a 9-game lead in the division at the end of June.
But that's
where the disaster would be coming from. But so now, no matter where you go, you're probably in a zone of disaster.
You're wrong because you're making too much rational sense.
You were trying to tell
me
before the All-Star break that we didn't even need to care about it anymore, that it was locked up.
Oh, no, 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 no,
we had this conversation on the show.
Did he say bring on the Yankees?
I did not say bring on the Yankees.
Of course he did.
I did not say it was locked up.
It's his favorite thing to say.
He asked me the question if it was locked up. I said it wasn't locked up. I said if it got to 10 games, I'd start to think about it being locked up. But it was the All-Star break. And again, I gave you a backhanded compliment because I said, you're making rational sense here.
Well, I will give you no compliment.
If they said, well, that's perfectly fine. I'm used to it. I'm sure Mitch today certainly doesn't want to give me one either. So you have a team that was 9 games up in the division. If they were to fall out of that and people are calling it a disaster, I'm trying to make the argument here going, wait a minute. You got Jonkenzie Noel here who's emerging here. You have a great player in Jose Ramirez, which, by the way, if you fall out of the lead in the division and not make the playoffs, now all of a sudden he becomes an old 32 for a lot of people. Then you have all this host of really good young players as well in a good lineup. There's a lot to look forward to, but because you've already been ahead, no one's gonna do that. So now I'm trying to keep the proper perspective on all of this. So now if you guys want expectations and you guys are saying disaster, then we need to get ourselves set up to make the postseason, win the division, make the postseason, and see how far we can take it. And every night is a examination of that. We got to stay in the lead in the division, obviously, and then we have to see where we do and where we match up. Like, guys, it starts now. It's August 14th. I'm excited about the Browns. I know everybody's excited about college football starting up here in a couple of weeks. I mean, week zero is coming up in a couple of weeks here. This is big. We got to pay attention to this right now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.